Question 101. Where are those thine accusers? John 8:10. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? This could be easily the sweetest representation of Christ's compassion found in the New Testament. Its message is plain, its point obvious, its storyline compelling, its hero flawless. It has all the right ingredients for a memorable and touching story bearing an inescapable moral. The question that Christ asked, however, is deeper still. The story behind his question teaches yet another bit of theology. Recently, I heard a radio broadcast of a famous Bible teacher who was known worldwide and heard by millions. He was preaching a sermon called, When Jesus Broke the Sabbath. Now, I know without a doubt that this man, though he's now dead, if he were asked if he believed that Jesus was sinless while here on this earth in bodily form, he would answer, most assuredly. Many would answer the same way. It's a point of fact, essential for redemption, that the Messiah would suffer for sins, not his own, to effect salvation for us all. How then could he have broken the fourth commandment? He, in fact, never broke the commandment. He did, however, shatter the man-made laws surrounding the Sabbath. But in this story of the woman caught in adultery, consider if, perhaps, we've caught Jesus disobeying one of God's express commandments. Deuteronomy 7:5, Then thou shalt bring forth a man, or that woman, which hath committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. The commandment is very explicit. All that's required to condemn this woman who was caught in the very act was to bring her to the gate with witnesses and stone her. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Why did they wonder what Jesus might do? It's because they knew that he would not do what they had always done, or what they thought should be done. But rather, they knew his answer would be different. They were right. The law said plainly that this woman must die, and Jesus let her off. He forgave her and sent her on her way. The law did not specify that if you felt sorry for the accused, you may let her go and forego punishment. The law made no such provision. Did Jesus break the law of Moses? The law states, in other places, that pity will not enter into the decision at all, as in Deuteronomy 19:21, And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, and eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And again, in a case where a woman put her hand where she ought not, they were commanded to cut off the hand that disobeyed. A gory task indeed, but again he said, Then thou shalt cut off her hand, thine eye shall not pity her. So, pity was no reason to spare judgment. The question remains, did Christ break the law of Moses? Jesus knew that they caught her, quote, in the very act, end quote, and therefore no attorney could cloud or skew the facts to help her to be innocent. He knew the law, and therefore no lawyer could twist the law to accommodate her. Jesus also knew man, for he knew what was in man. Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Many have speculated what Jesus wrote. I don't think he wrote anything important. He was just doodling, quote, as though he heard them not, end quote. He was pretending not to care, being cool and collected, exercising an exasperating defense from accusation. And when he had everyone's attention and the quiet fell on the crowd, so that no one would have to ask, "What did he say?" He stood and said, "He that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. The woman braced for the worst. She knew within herself that everyone in the crowd that day was better than she. None who stood to condemn her had the weaknesses that she had. The ones who stood over her were the very ones she envied in her life, the ones who she, in the secret thoughts of her idle hours, aspired to be. And now she lay face first in the dust before them to receive the just stones of death at their hands. Her breath halted. She awaited the rain of blows. As the hush fell on the crowd, and his proposition to the sinless coursed through their minds, and the blood rushed to their faces, their hearts pounded as the convicting power of the words of Jesus rang in their ears. The deafness of their preoccupation was punctuated only by the thud, thud, thud of stones once held by the self-righteous are now being released to the ground as faces turn away and the backs of the convicted are shown to the accused. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." But there was one that day who could accuse. There was a sinless one, one who was entitled, even by the new criterion Christ laid out, to cast the first stone, Jesus himself. He had that right. He could have accused her and condemned her. And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Did he break the law of Moses? Over 1,000 years earlier, God placed a provision in the law requiring that two or more accusers condemn this woman. And alas, as if by design, there was only one. No law was broken, no commandment circumnavigated by clever lawyers, no facts twisted, but paradoxically, the law, perfectly executed, gave this woman another chance. Jesus, the only one able to accuse, simply chose not to. What a wonderful representation this is of his love and perfection toward those who repent and look to him. Though the law in the hands of sinful men accuses, you need only stand near Christ and let him find a way to emerge with a second chance. Had Jesus not been there, there would have been one more body thrown into Gehenna. When he's on the scene, he will mercifully deal with those who trust him. There is only one who can accuse you. There is only one who may exercise the power of condemnation. The accusers in this world will have difficulties of their own to deal with on that great and notable day of the Lord. On the day you who love him are condemned by the law and dropped at the feet of the judge of all the earth, look up. And you'll find yourself with him alone when he asks, "Where are those thine accusers?"